Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cunning like a communist, unearthing hidden truths. Is it feral corporate spin that's corrupting all our youth? Talking Musical History Podcast.
Talking Musical History Podcast.
Take a stand. Go down the hole. Learn the things that we have kept from you. The journey is cathartic. Listen to
Talking Musical History Podcast. Talking Musical History Podcast.
Learn some truth.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Reefer Madness Part 2, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Rabbit Hole.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Chris. We had a lot. The plate was bigger than we thought it was.
Yeah, and so we divided it into two parts. One being more of the talking about the show and the musical part of it, and the other one talking about more of the political message of the show. And this is that part of the podcast. Let's continue to talk about the cast of Reefer Madness. We went over some other people who are, I would say, more well-known than these other people who we're going to go over now. And one of them is Amy Spanger. Amy Spanger seduces you as Sally, channeling a bit of Bernadette Peters in Annie, I feel. She was married, but then divorced Michael C. Hall.
Oh, wow, really? Yeah, wow, that's interesting. That's funny.
She made her Broadway debut in Sunset Boulevard. Sunset Boulevard is a story. It's by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and as most Andrew Lloyd Webbers, it has like one memorable song, and then the rest is forgettable.
Oh, cool. I couldn't name a single memorable song from that specific.
Honestly, I'd have to think about it more, but I've heard it before.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
It's
now.
Yeah, it's a star from bygone era, and she gets drowned in a pool. It's a movie. It's a very famous movie, Sunset Boulevard.
I mean, that's really just like a poor book report by a high school kid, like a cute little scamp. Her baby catches on fire. The Sally character, like she does such a great job of like pulling that off. Cause like at the same time, like the things that she's doing is like completely ridiculous and awful. But you'd like, she's cute.
Chicago, yeah. As Roxy Hart.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, definitely.
You're in town, originating the role of Lois Lane.
Have you ever seen the musical Urinetown?
I have never seen the musical. You know what? I've heard people talk about it in a very positive way, and I have no reason not to like it. It's just one of those that I have never sought out intentionally to see, nor have I avoided it either.
I heard that people are talking about it in a very positive way. I did not think Urinetown was like going to be as interesting as it was as a musical. Like my friend Jason Smith directed Urinetown at the Dexter Players. And it was incredible. And his production was definitely incredible. And this musical, like honestly, that would be a great musical to turn into a film. It's about taxes and like public works.
Okay.
Right. And like sort of the important balance of like, you know, us having to pay in a system and understand how it works and like making things work. But then also understanding that, like, you know, we can't just like tear it all down because it won't work.
So it sounds like it's Avenue Q minus the Muppets.
No, it is not Avenue Q minus the Muppets. But I appreciate that.
I am sorry. The name itself, it was part of the turnoff. You're in town. It could be an amazing musical. I will listen to it. Yes. She also originated the role of Lois Lane, aka Bianca, in the revival of Kiss Me Kate, and Holly in The Wedding Singer.
Oh, wow, cool. Yeah. There's a Wedding Singer musical?
There is a Wedding Singer musical.
Good Lord, am I living under a rock?
I never said it was good.
Oh, dang. Oh, that's fair. You did not say that it was an awesome musical. You did not say those words.
I only like the character's name because that's my wife's name.
That's fair. That is definitely fair. Holly is an awesome individual.
Yes. All of the Hollies that I know are awesome people.
Yeah, well, they're filled with Holly Jelly fun.
She also worked with Jonathan Larson on Tick, Tick, Boom and Next to Normal with Anthony Rapp, following originating the roles of both Sherry in Rock of Ages and Jovi in Elf.
I did know Elf was a musical. Though I guarantee that there's probably a ton of people that don't know that Elf is a musical. I thought that was like obvious. It should be like as soon as that movie came out, I was like, dude, this needs to be a
musical. Oh, yes. Other films include Schenectady, New York and Chicago Med, with Reefer Madness being her first film credit. Jesus in a dream sequence is Weber made Robert Torti from Starlight Express as Greaseball, which earned him a Tony.
Tony, 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 Tony.
And that was his Broadway debut.
That's pretty cool. That's a nice debut.
Oh, yeah. I will be honest with you, I don't know that character. I only know like a few songs from Starlight Express.
Yeah, didn't he also do like Godspell or something?
Yeah, and connected with Weber as well. Politics, well, this is actually somewhat related to politics, because Robert Torti in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat played Pharaoh. And for those of you that don't know Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat like I do, because our school was in the production with Donny Osmond back in middle school, but in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Pharaoh is this Elvis-like character.
Like, one thing I love about doing this podcast specifically is like, we get to review musicals that we know and love, and then B, we get to watch new musicals, and you know, like obviously, you know, some of them are 1776.
Vote Joe, vote Joe, freedom and democracy.
That's I'm gonna clap for that. I'm gonna let this draw out too. Thank you. One of the things that really hits me really hard about the musical Reefer Madness is that, like, I feel like we're currently still living in this feeling of Reefer Madness, specifically around the idea of like government lying to you. Well, you're right. Every time it just keeps going to politics, man. Yeah. It just keeps going back to politics. I'm telling you. And I do want to make something clear. Like, there's the Seder, and then there's Satan, and they're not the same. Yeah, yes, GK Goatman. Yes. And like at first, the first time I thought it saw it, I was like, oh, there's like double Satans, like portrayed two different ways, but they are and they're not. I mean, you know, this is what happens with this America. That being said, I was thinking about the Chronicles of Riddick. I really wished that was going to be a better film. I still love the Chronicles of Riddick. It could have been so much better, though, like a Pitch Black. And some people were like, oh, whatever. Like, dude, if you love horror films, mm-hmm. That's exactly what that is. It's not really a sci-fi film. It's like the original Alien, you know? It's like, yeah, Riddick's a badass. Like, unlike like Sigourney Weaver's character, Ripley, she's not quite as badass. But whatever. I'm talking sci-fi. I love talking sci-fi. Sorry. Yeah. Let's get back to musicals.
Christian Campbell's sister is none other than Neve Campbell, who plays Poppy. Oh, yeah. She was best known for Party of Five.
Yes.
And right. Scream.
Yeah. I mean, like that little tango that she does.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With Steven Weber. That was hot.
I probably throw a little bit of shade on her because, like, I was really really impressed by Christian's performance in Reefer Madness. She's got dancing skills. And she's knocked out some pretty awesome roles. Had a somewhat crush on her once upon a time. Not so much anymore. That being said, like she's a solid actress. She really is.
I loved her in The Craft. for what it was a good film.
The craft could have been better, but it was a good film, and she was not the problem in it.
At the time it came out, and I was in my, like, goth phase at the time, it was a good film. Now, looking on it now, I probably would think it's shit.
By the way, I do want to take a moment to recognize that you guys should take the time to check out the Sky Rainbow website. That's skyrainbow.com or skyerainbow.com. And, you know, check it out and make sure you drop us a message.
Yeah, it's like the sky, like the Isles of Skye in Scotland. Yeah, it's what I was named after. And also is referenced in Outlander. Over the sea to Skye.
One thing we didn't say about William Shakespeare is we didn't talk about the, like, the very end. Remember, like, where they're, like, singing that final song.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's, like floating off and he's, like, saying, or maybe someday I'll have cancer.
Or get hit by a train. Yeah.
I wish that William Shakespeare would have showed up with a dagger.
Happy dagger.
And be like, But this is how Romeo and Juliet ended. You should take this dagger. Like, that would have been really funny. And he would have been like, yeah, no. And she would have been like, ah. And he's like, no, I love you, though. I'm not going to use the dagger, but I still love you. Yeah, I mean, like, I just a little bit of added silliness. I thought that would be funny.
That would have been great. Yeah, that would have been a really good addition.
One thing I did want to talk about is that scene with Jimmy, where he gets in the shower with his mom.
Oh yeah, when he's on the reefer.
I have to point out that moment because I think that's a hilarious moment in just filmmaking in general. Yeah. But I'm wondering is he thinking about having sex with his mom?
I think so.
Gross. No, that's terrific. I did have to bring that up, though.
The phrase "say goodnight, Gracie," coined by George Burns, said to his wife Gracie Allen as they ended their show 1950 to 1958.
Yeah. The song that was cut, I feel like, leads us into a little more political talk. The creators of this, Kevin and Dan, right?
Yes.
I feel like they needed a black friend.
Yeah.
It is what it is. However, I think it would have helped them out a lot.
It's sad, but it is. Yeah.
The song that was cut. So there's a song called We Know Best that was cut from the original musical and actually didn't survive past too many runs. I tried to find a little bit more information about it, but my limited looking and without reaching out to anyone, like, you know, I've listened to the song and I've read through the song and I listened to the song again, but like I feel like allows racists to use historical context to be racist. You can use racist dialogue if you put that in context with how it affects what's going on in the play. So this version of the musical is slightly different.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's a song called the Monkey Song, which replaced the Brownie Song. So like, you know, the idea of getting that monkey off your back, mm-hmm. right? Like kicking the habit, being a junkie. He goes to his parents, and his parents are like, you know, you should have not smoked the reefer, and you should have listened to us, and you should have stayed away from those darkies. Which is funny because in the movie version, he doesn't really actually spend any time with any black people at all.
Yeah, the only black people you see are a cowering black family at the end.
But like, yeah, there's a line, marijuana is responsible for the raping of white women by crazed Negroes. And I understand that he is quoting William Randolph Hearst. However, they don't say anything negative about William Randolph Hearst. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, remember, like, when we were, like, crafting, like, the beginning of, like, this? Like,
yeah.
Like, there's ways that you can talk about things without just, like, giving yourself a pass to say, you know, crazed Negroes, without actually saying, well, you know, William Randolph Hearst should not have said those things.
You know, it's interesting because I'm just thinking of the comparison between Newsies and this. Both had William Randolph Hearst mentioned. And you have someone who's clearly the villain. he's William Randolph Hearst, and he's a real life historical figure. And you have him being played in the movie version of Newsies by Jason Robards, and who is brilliant at being a bad guy, just is. Whereas in The Reefer Madness, it is suggested, but it is not clear. It is only through the lens of Alan Cumming's character that you see the hypocrisy of it, but you don't, you're not introduced to the why. Right. But I think that it uses people's more intelligence. Like, it relies on people to be intelligent to get the Reefer Madness versus news. It tells you, like, 100%.
No, I disagree. I think because you know the history, that's what you come out of it with. Right. So when you wink at something without actually talking about it, you're not helping. That's not like a progressive piece. I thought initially when the first time I saw Reefer Madness, I thought that it was like a pro-marijuana film.
Yeah.
And the musical made by Showtime definitely is in some respects, but not really at all. At all, not really at all. Because it doesn't say anything positive about it, ever. It never denounces Harry Anslinger, never denounces Harry Anslinger, and never denounces Hearst. As a matter of fact, it says completely negative things about marijuana, which was initially called cannabis and was called marijuana to scare people, which it does talk about the scare tactic. Mm-hmm. It does talk about the scare tactic, but it still holds true the lie. It's problematic. The language from this song in the musical makes makers kind of sound kind of racist. Yeah. They use the language without saying anything positive about minorities. Mm. They don't say anything positive. Right. But if you don't know anything about history, you would never do that. That's it would true. Just reinforce what you believe. I would hope that Dan and Kevin would try to defend that.
And maybe that is why I have never seen a staged version of Reefer Madness ever even advertised.
Unless it's all done like with them like making like jokes and there's signs in the background to read that says the opposite. When you make a piece of art, you have to be cognizant of the fact that like especially with film and theater, that like your soundtrack is going to be listened to by itself. And if it's going to come off like something that doesn't actually represent the film.
Except if you're talking about Cats 2019.
Oh, yeah, I guess the soundtrack is better than the film, huh? Ooh, nice dunk. I wish that they would have spent a little bit more time like looking into the history of all of this and like uncovering a little bit more.
Well, that's what we're about to do.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely what we're about to do. But I feel like, you know, if the musical, the original musical would have been like front loaded with that, I think they could have had a lot more fun. He didn't choose to quote a line from Billie Holiday, but and we'll talk about more why that's important. He didn't choose to choose a quote from Louis Armstrong, who basically asked if he could have, like, all he wanted was a license to smoke reefer. He's like, I screw the Second Amendment, dude. I don't want a license to hold a gun. I want a license to smoke reefer. That's all I want.
So that song was replaced by The Truth. Tell Them the Truth.
The Truth does a much better job. That song does a much better job. Much better replacement song.
When danger's near, exploit their fear.
Right? Exactly. Exactly, exactly, exactly. Pulling back and saying, hey, is this actually the truth? Gotta tell them the truth. Everybody gonna know.
The history of reefer. Political and social implications of reefer and the phenomenon that it has caused over, well, our entire history.
Finally getting to talk about Billie Holiday and Harry J. Anslinger. Yes, the history. The war on drugs. Let's talk about some logical fallacies around the war on drugs, right? It keeps coming back to logical fallacies, right? Because this is sort of the thing, right? And I would like to thank Jill Barup for her video on 31 logical fallacies in 8 minutes. Watch that YouTube video. I felt like I was like, oh crap, man. Like this is like we take these truths as truths, you know, and we've uncovered those things as we move along, and we're like, wait a second, no, that's just the ways that the man keeps us down.
And this amazing, bright Ginger Leia is telling you how it is.
So, Harry J. Anslinger.
He's the asshole you never heard of until now.
Harry J. Anslinger, the hater of jazz music, king of prohibition and the count of racism, and the head of the Bureau of Narcotics and the original architect of the war on drugs. 15 most ridiculous quotes about marijuana by Harry J. Anslinger.
Lay it on me.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. Reefer makes darkies think that they're as good as white men. There are 100,000 total marijuana smokers in the U.S., and most are Negroes, Hispanics, Filipinos, and entertainers. Their satanic music, jazz, and swing result from marijuana usage. The marijuana causes white women to seek sexual relations with Negroes, entertainers, and any others. All right, I do have to pause for a minute and negate a bunch of things. All right, so first off, marijuana is awesome.
In case you haven't figured it out, we are very 420 friendly.
Secondly, we are all equal. So like the idea that like a white man should feel threatened that a black man or an Asian man or a woman, for God's sakes,
heaven forbid,
rival that person.
Have an attorney general or a president.
It's like, look, ladies and gentlemen, in order for this planet to work well, we want the best qualified people in positions doing the work. If we have like just white people doing stuff and in charge, like, you know, things will be fine. But if you have if you allow for the best qualified people, then the best outcome can happen. Think about it. It might make sense. That being said, let's continue on. You smoke a joint and you're likely to kill your brother. Now you see, likely to kill, like likely, that's like, it's not you will kill your brother, whatever. It's like such a suggestion thing. Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its user insanity, criminality, and death. So no one has ever died from an overdose of marijuana.
In history. Look it up.
Caffeine is more dangerous than marijuana. Aspirin is more dangerous than marijuana.
Alcohol
is more dangerous than marijuana.
Yeah, but you can walk into any drugstore and buy some Jack Daniels, no problem.
The primary reason to outlaw marijuana is its effect on the degenerate races. Ooh, I love that. Degenerate races.
Degenerate races.
Gosh, what an asshole. No one knows when he places a marijuana cigarette to his lips whether he will become a joyous reveler in a musical heaven, a mad insensate, a calm philosopher, or a murderer. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, first off, for those of you that don't know, insensate means that they don't have any feeling. So they're like, you know, crazy and lost sensations. Oh my gosh. I mean, obviously this guy's never, well, he's lying. He knows the truth. He's lying. That's the moral of the story. We'll look at a little more. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with marijuana, he would drop dead of fright. So I assume the movie Frankenstein had come out recently.
Oh yeah, the old original probably.
Some people will fly into a delirious rage and they are temporarily irresponsible and may commit violent crimes. Maybe. It is dangerous to the mind and body, particularly dangerous to the criminal type because it releases all of the inhibitions. Some people will fly into a delirious rage and they are temporarily irresponsible and may commit violent crimes. Other people will laugh uncontrollably. See, there it is. It is impossible to say what the effect will be on any individual. These are such wildly crazy claims. Listen to this. Marijuana leads to pacifism.
Heaven forbid we have peaceful people believing in a communal good for mankind.
And communist brainwashing. How is it that marijuana both leads to committing violent crimes and pacifism.
I mean, I don't know how many pacifists you've met, but most people that are pacifists don't want to kill people.
Oh, no. Pacifists, like Gandhi? Gandhi fucking slayed every day, man.
Yeah, I guess if you're, you know, yeah, I mean, well, I mean, remember Abraham Lincoln? Like Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter?
No, and didn't Gandhi like travel back into time and join Abraham Lincoln and they like fought zombies and vampires together?
Yeah, wasn't that in that like, yeah. I think we're thinking of celebrity death match.
Like I remember when I was growing up as a kid, I was a super square. I poo-pooed on people that smoked. I raised my nose to people that smoked marijuana, like all drugs, whatever. I was... whatever. But then like I realized that like, you know, like first off, caffeine is a drug.
Yeah.
And I drank caffeine since I was two. Yeah. So like, you know, and I recognize the benefits of caffeine. Caffeine is a terrific and useful drug that allows me to accomplish tasks. Right. And so like, you got to think about it, right? Like, I mean, there are positive uses for morphine. There are positive uses for cannabis.
It has done a lot of good. People that have like multiple sclerosis or cancer, marijuana can help them.
Yeah, but Harry J. Ann Singler says, I do not think there is such a thing as not being able to cure an addict. Marijuana addicts must go to a federal narcotic farm. Before Harry Anslinger said all those crazy, racist, and awful things, he actually claimed that cannabis was not a problem. So in 1930, before he was doing all this nonsense against marijuana and the war on drugs, Anslinger had claimed that cannabis was not a problem and did not harm people, and there's probably no more absurd fallacy. We just like let racists be in charge, and we shouldn't, because when they're in charge, they waste money and they do things like kill Billie Holiday. Harry J. Anslinger, who's this awful man that says all those awful things, racist, terrible, asshole, all-around douchebaggy guy. So, by the way, guys, if you give a racist the power to hurt people, they will always hurt people with that power.
As evidenced by the Trumpler administration.
What up with that? Anyway, I'm just saying... Folks, just think about it. Like, he's like Mike Pence. He's not interested in jazz music or sleeping in the same bed with his wife. You know, he hated the facts that jazz music was improvised, relaxed, and free form. Like, literally hated that. And he called it mongrel music. Basically, like, denouncing a beautiful musical culture without actually, like, you know, giving it a chance and trying to learn more about it. Like the jungles in the dead night, he's talking about like clubs and geez, so fucking racist. So he would send his agents out and like go and like haunt jazz men and like basically try to get people prosecuted because like, okay, so Harry J. Anslinger used to be in charge of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics and basically was in charge of prohibition, right? So he was in charge of prohibition and he, like, it was found out and the country figured out that prohibition is stupid.
Underground.
Well, see, here's the problem, right? So when you prohibit something, you drive it underground, right? And then, so when you start prosecuting, like, you start, like, you're a drug dealer or you're a moonshine runner, right? And I gobble you up and I throw you in jail, right? I cuff them and stuff them and I throw you in jail. Guess what happens? What happens after that? Do you know?
The taxpayers foot the bill.
A, the taxpayers do flip the bill. That is correct, Kevin. What else happens?
Someone else comes along.
There is a void where that person is. People still want drugs. People still want alcohol. So what happens is a still runner or a drug dealer is busted. A turf war happens. Violence goes up.
You actually have to stand your ground.
Fighting the war on drugs.
Because they don't care, it doesn't affect them.
Always raises more fighting. So like when white people say, well, black people kill black people at a much higher rate, they're causing it directly. Because when you, like, look, when you own a store, a pizza joint, let's say, when someone tries to rob you of your pizzas, You can call the cop and say, this guy tried to rob me of my pizzas, and the cops will take care of it. But if you own a illegal drugstore, you cannot go to the cops and say, hey, this guy stole my weed. You have to buy a gun and say, don't you steal my weed, I'm gonna shoot you. So then you have to forcibly kill people for your weed. The government is literally forcing this fucking crime to happen.
Criminalize a plant.
And so here's the thing. Here's the thing that isn't understood is that, like, if you go about it in a different way, none of it has to be like that. We don't have to spend millions of dollars to put people in jail. We don't have to have crime, violent crime, go up.
Strange Fruit.
Yeah, so Billie Holiday would sing the song Strange Fruit. And if you guys don't know, this is a song about lynching. And it's incredibly moving and sorrowful.
It's a very powerful song. And I did not see Billie Holiday perform this, obviously.
No, it's been sung by a lot of different people too.
Audra McDonald sang this song in this Amazon special that she plays Billie Holiday. She sings it, and, like, you can tell it took a lot to sing that song. When Audra McDonald sung Strange Fruit, it was so heavy of a song because I believe she knew the history. I believe Audra McDonald probably already knows what we're talking about right now. It was so heavy of a song. They had to, at that point, take an intermission so that she could recover from singing that song. After the intermission, sit with that gravity of what that song meant. She brought out a little chihuahua that she held in her arms as she was singing some other song. That was her way of saying, like, I need this little therapy dog here. It was even recently used in Birth of a Nation, Birth of the...
Yeah, the one that I forgot.
Birth of the Nation.
It's Birth of the Nation because the other one, the first original one, is Birth of a Nation. Yeah. And it's a super racist film. Yeah. That being said, like, that film was actually used by the White House. The Wilson, Wilson administration used that to help keep America racist again. So, congrats, America. So, you know, in America, before Harry J. Anslinger basically ruined it, you could get marijuana, which was called cannabis, prescribed. And the reason why he called it marijuana is because he didn't want to, he had to actually prosecute like 17,000 pharmacists for possession of marijuana. Because, like, you know, they were all doing cannabis. And then all of a sudden it was like, the marijuana is the green menace, this great menace, American menace. And they're like, oh, marijuana, whatever. And then it was like, oh, wait, I'm selling marijuana? It's like, no, this is cannabis. We've been doing this the whole time. So, and this is the thing about this, you know, like he would send out his agents, attack people. He hunted down Billie Holiday with his agents, an agent named Jimmy Fletcher. Like, he fell in love with her, which is great, good for him, whatever. He basically, like, helped her get in and out of the legal system, which is terrible. And, like, it all ends with her being, like, you know, sick and constantly in drug problems. And there was a period where she couldn't even, because of her court problems, she had her license to perform in clubs taken away from her. So, like, she had to find sneaky ways for her to perform. She couldn't go to, like, regular clubs, and, you know, people are going to be racist anyway. So, like, you know, they she doesn't need any help being discriminated against. But, like, so I'm sure that, like, basically killed her soul, and she got sick and she became more of a drug user. Cuffs her to a deathbed. She's given methadone and she actually starts doing better. And they have it taken off and she dies. So the federal government killed Billie Holiday. Deal with it.
And what happened to, what was Dorothy? Is that Judy Garland, right?
Judy Garland is a different story. Basically, she like was actually helped out by Terry J. Anslinger. He reached out to her studio and he was like, hey, you know, she'll be fine. I know she's like doing the heroin, whatever. She's going to be fine. We're going to have her do all these awesome things and go and get help. And she's going to be fine. And you guys are going to love it. And they did. And it was fine.
She eventually killed herself in drug overdose anyways, but the government didn't have an active role in her death.
Paramount Pictures is going to put out a movie by Lee Daniels, and it's based off the book Chasing the Scream by Johann Hari, who's been putting this all out. So look up Johann Hari.
Oh, good. I was wondering this should be a movie. So I'm glad this is going to be made a movie by Lee Daniels, who does amazing work.
Yeah, no, it needs to be. It 100% needs to be a film. Please check all that stuff out. The movie should be out February 12th, 2021. Study that was done by this psychologist, Bruce K. Alexander.
Yeah.
The Rat Pack.
Oh, yeah, that marijuana's good. Yeah, yeah. No.
The Rat Park. Was a series of studies in drug addiction, all right? They had a rat in a cage, and then they would have, like, a morphine drip and then a regular water, and then they would, like, sweeten the morphine drip. And so Bruce K. Alexander is like, well, fuck yeah, the rat would die. Like, if you were stuck in a small, empty room with just drugs, of course, what else are you going to do but do drugs? He built this whole park that was literally 200 times the size of a regular rat cage. And in it, he put in, like, different, like, slides and, like, wheels and, like, toys to play with, nookie hangout spots. Then with all of these, like, you know, awesome distractions of having the ability to, like, you know, mate with, like, your choice of mate, and then having the ability to, like, play in the space and having the ability to have, like, decent food available to you, then you're given the choice of water or drugs. And guess what happened?
Didn't they choose more water than drugs?
They didn't care about
Because there were other options.
And this was totally backed up because, like, in the Vietnam War, there were tons of Vietnam vets that did opioids over there. Right. And the federal government was totally freaking out, and they were like worried. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We have all these soldiers that are doing opioids. And when they come back, we're going to have a ridiculous amount of drug addicts in the United States. And when they came back, guess what happened?
Spite of my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage.
They were in the fucking cage over there mm-hmm. where they had no other fucking choice. That's the exact problem is that, like, you know, without any other choice, right, like, Billie Holiday could have had a better life if you would have allowed her to have the choice of living a better life. When you take that away, people choose not to live a better life because you don't give them the options to live a better life. Addiction isn't really about bad moral character. It's about abuse, and it's about comforting oneself. Is the man keeping you down? Has Whitey handcuffed you to your hospital bed while he breakdances on the moon? Yeah, you might think to yourself, hey, I'm white. But are you white? Are you Italian, French, English, German, Russian descent, but poor? I'm sorry, you're not white. But what you need to do is vote. Go out and vote. Change the status quo. The United States doesn't have to suck. You can make it better. Dangerous for conservatives right now. And that's why actually I like the name of this episode is How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Rabbit Hole. Because, like, here's the problem, folks. As we sort of move forward and, like, reevaluate the last 20, 40, 60 years, we're going to start uncovering the truth. And we're going to basically end up with, are we going to change for the better? Or are we just going to be continue to be assholes and destroy ourselves and destroy our world?
New Zealand with a woman prime minister, Jacinda Ardern. I mean, amazing. If you listen to this podcast, hopefully you know that we are anti-Trump.
And just to be, like, abundantly clear, do not vote for Donald J. Trump. And not only that, tell others, do not vote for Donald Trump. if you care about gay people.
If you care about black people. If you care about people. Just people. Do not vote for Donald Trump. Yeah, well, thank you very much, folks, for listening to another edition of Talking Musical History Podcast.
And I'm Chris.
I'm Kevin. Until next time, learn from history.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.